Okay, welcome everybody. So I'm Paul Whitcover. I'm the Associate Dean of the Online MFA program here at SNHU, and I'm joined tonight by my colleague, Jacob Powers, who is the Associate Dean of the Online MA and BA programs in Creative Writing and English. And you can tell that we're colleagues because we both are wearing hoodies, rocking the hoodies tonight.
That is true.
Last time we did this, we kind of did a slide presentation about our various programs, and we still have that available, but we thought it might be better, more fun, more interesting if we just kind of jumped in and answered any questions that you may have right from the outset. And just to set the parameters a little bit, the purpose of this special Wireside chat is to basically answer your questions about the MFA program and the MA in English and Creative Writing programs here at SNHU, and about moving directly from the BA into the MFA or MA career plan or what have you, whether that's advisable, whether it's better to wait. How long should you wait? Any kind of questions like that. So with that said, Jacob, do you have anything you want to add?
No, just thank you for coming. And like Paul said, we're very much open to any questions that you may have. So if you'd like to type them in the chat, that'd be great. And we can answer them. If you want to take a couple minutes to think of questions and stuff, of course, you're welcome to do that too. And Paul and I can fill in a little bit about our programs and stuff as well. But like you said, I oversee the BA and the MA programs here. And just a quick rundown of the differences between the MA and the MFA here, online MFA here. The MA has four different concentrations, and you can also not choose a concentration if you want, which is fiction, nonfiction, screenwriting, and poetry. Whereas Paul's online MFA is fiction-centric, but it has a lot of subgenres that you can focus on, including speculative, romance, young adult, and contemporary. So that's kind of the basic gist of the two major differences between the programs.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to add that I think the other main difference, and this is more of a difference in general between an MFA program and an MA program, is that the MFA is a terminal degree, whereas an MA is not. So mm-hmm. even though you're if you take the MA in creative writing, you're still going to be working on your writing. You're going to be engaged in workshopping your writing. You're definitely going to improve as a writer. But the end result of that is going to be a degree that is seen as a stepping stone towards a further advanced degree, like a PhD, for example. Whereas with an MFA, that's it. That's basically as far as you can go, even though now we are starting to see PhDs in creative writing, but they are not recognized as a necessary terminal degree in the field. The MFA is. So with a terminal degree like an MFA, you can teach at the secondary level. You can teach in a community college. You can teach in a college. You can teach in a university. That's not the case with an MA. You will sometimes see writers with an MA teaching in a graduate creative writing program, for example. That's usually on the basis of their publications. So there can be exceptions to what I've just told you, but they're really based upon a writer's success as a writer, demonstrated ability, you know, to publish their works and be successful.
Yes. And with that, we have our first question from the chat. How much of each program is workshopping versus literary critique? I'll speak for the MA first. One of the components of the MA degree is taking a few literature courses in there, including literary theory is one of the major courses that you are required to take. That gives a basic breakdown of a few different schools of literary theory and thought and analysis. And in using that, you can then pursue other literature focused courses like, you know, American literature, postmodern literature, British literature, world lit, things like that. I would not say it's a huge component of the degree nonetheless, I would say more so than the literature courses is, you know, the core workshopping courses that you would take, especially if you're non-concentrated, if you decide I'm just going to take an MA in creative writing and I kind of want to experiment with four different concentrations or three of the four concentrations that we offer. So I want to do a little bit of poetry, a little bit of fiction, a little bit of nonfiction. You'll be taking all fundamental courses, like the very introductory courses. Not to say that, you know, they're simple or anything. They do have substantial page requirements and everything like that. But you don't go any further than that. Just those introductory workshops, and then you can take the capstone after that, deciding which one you want to explore and pursue further. If you do have a concentration, say nonfiction, you would take a fundamentals course, a thesis writing course, and then a thesis completion course. And all three of those are workshop centric, including the advanced writing workshop as well. So those all exist in the MA program. I will also say with the MA, students need to take two classes before they really get into the workshopping bit, and that's 510 and 520. 510 is kind of a, right now it's set up as a way to compare classic and contemporary texts, and it's kind of an analytical course, but you're not asked to, you know, dissect the underlying meaning of a piece per se, more so than to look and see, like, how has language changed from classic text to contemporary text? How has its focus on setting or scenery changed and stuff like that? So it's kind of giving you the baseline of what you would look at while you're writing whatever longer work that you plan on writing while in the MA. And 520 is on setting and on story and stuff like that as well. So that's a class where you start to kind of plot out your idea that you're going to pursue in a longer stretch with the degree itself. So not as literary analysis as say the literature courses, of course, but those are a component of the MA. But still, overall, you know, workshops are kind of the meat and potatoes of the degree. And I'll hand it over to Paul to talk about the online MFA.
Sorry, I was muted. Before I answer the question, which I'm about to do, I want to introduce another member of the SNHU team. Derek Craigie is joining us. Derek is the senior associate dean. So Derek is my boss and Jacob's boss, and very grateful to him for joining us tonight. Welcome, Derek.
There we go.
Yep. Oh, you were unmuted there for a second. Now you're muted again. There you go.
Sorry about that. I was getting some serious lag between when I clicked on it and when the icon changed. So I muted and unmuted like five times in 5 seconds. Sorry about that. Thank you for having me here tonight, gentlemen. As Paul said, my name is Derek Craigie, Senior Associate Dean of Liberal Arts. Before holding this role, as of 2020, I was in the role of Associate Dean of Creative Writing from 2014 to 2020. So I have experience with the programs as well. As far as I'm concerned, this is definitely Paul and Jacob's show, but I am here to add any further context or answer any questions that might be more appropriate for my role, which is more an overview of the three programs. I also support the history, graphic design, and digital photography programs. But thank you again for having me here. I appreciate
it. Yep, we're very pleased. So let me respond to Elizabeth's question, which is how much of your program is workshopping versus literary critique, et cetera. I would say in the MFA, there's very little literary critique in the sense that Jacob was referring to with the MA, where we're talking about like critical literary theory. That is not a strong component of our program. We do analyze texts in our program, but that analysis is usually done from a craft perspective. In other words, less from the perspective of a literary critic and more from the perspective of a fellow writer. What can I learn from this text? How can I apply it to my own work? We also will contrast more contemporary texts with historic texts. Like, for example, if you're writing a science fiction novel about artificial intelligence, it might be useful to you to think about a novel like Frankenstein as a kind of, you know, very early, maybe even originator of the concept of artificial intelligence in fiction, with a more recent text that similarly explores concepts of artificial intelligence, maybe in a very different way. The MFA is kind of built around workshopping. Workshopping takes place in most courses throughout the program, including in the introductory course to the program, which is MFA 505, which is a course all students take, or at least most students take in the program, unless they transfer over from the MA. That course introduces you to workshopping, features a practice workshop, lays out the SNHU workshopping philosophy, gives you the tools to successfully give criticism and receive feedback yourself and apply it to your own work. And then throughout the rest of the program, you'll be working on your own creative writing, you'll be workshopping that and receiving feedback from peers and from instructors all the way through until your thesis. The thesis project in the MFA is to write a complete novel. So when you're finished with the MFA, you will have a full novel that is just about ready to go. Part of that process is extensive workshopping. I feel like literary analysis or critique, not so much, but workshopping, very heavy. Here's another online MFA question. Is the online MFA 100% online, or is there an in-person component? Great question. SNHU is rich in creative writing programs. In fact, Derek is a graduate of the low residency MFA program at SNHU, which is called the Mountain View MFA. That is, as I just said, a low residency program where there is an in-person component. Most of it is done online, but there's a month every year, or I don't know the exact time, but there's a component of your degree is spent in New Hampshire with your. Whereas with the MFA, there is no in-person component. It's all online all the time. Here's another MFA question. Can you still qualify to teach at a university with an MFA with a professional writer certification instead of a teaching certificate? Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. The answer is yes. The MFA is what confers the ability to teach at the university level with you. The professional writer certification and the teaching certificate are two certificates that are offered in the creative writing in the MFA. But those certificates do not in and of themselves confer upon you the ability to be a professional writer or to be a teacher of online writing. What they indicate are that you have taken courses that specialize in these things. So they're kind of like an extra, fillip that you can add to your resume that will alert people to the fact that you have specialized knowledge in this area. But it's the MFA itself that gives you the right to teach at the university level.
And I do want to throw a slight asterisk in there, too, because there is, if you have an MA, it's not unheard of that MA graduates teach at a university, but it's very limited in scope with what you would teach. And you would also need to have experience through a TA-ship of some sort, which both programs offer a TA-ship, but in a lot of cases, you'd have to look at the job requirements and stuff. Sometimes they require, you know, at least 2 years of teaching at the TA-ship level and stuff, where MA students may have that opportunity to teach, but it would be very limited in scope to adjuncting, and it would usually involve first-year writing. So not creative writing. What Paul's referring to, especially the MFA, is that's the terminal degree where if you want to teach creative writing, and especially something more so than adjunct teaching, it's not only having the degree itself, but also having the qualifications that they ask for, which is usually at least one book publication and some experience teaching in the past or supporting students in the past as well. So if you are, if your ultimate goal is to teach, and if you want to teach full time and you're pursuing an MA, you still probably want to go that step further and pursue a PhD in creative writing as well. The programs do exist out there. There's not too many of them, but I know like Utah has a really good one, as does University of Cincinnati and stuff. We do not offer PhD programs here at SNU yet, but that is an opportunity for those who want to go that extra step after the MA. A lot of good MFA questions here. I do want to just jump down real quick to answer whether or not there's a poetry concentration. There is not in the MFA. The MA is the one that has poetry, nonfiction, screen writing, and fiction. So if you are someone who wants to experiment in multiple genres and they aren't necessarily set on writing a novel-length manuscript, then the MA is a good opportunity to explore those different concentrations and see how they can complement one another. I often really try to push that and stress that with folks who are even pursuing a BA non-concentration and stuff, is that, you know, and if you have taken 431, you would see too that like one of the final projects for 431 is that you write your primary piece outside of your preferred concentration or genre. The reason being because writing outside of your preferred genre can help influence the genre that you prefer to write in and do some wonderful things with it. I always turn towards Tony Doerr, who I took a couple classes with him. He won the Pulitzer for All the Light We Cannot See. And if you ever read any of Anthony Doerr, if you ever read of any of his work, you would see very much that he is a fiction writer, but really studies nonfiction, really looks into history, looks into just interesting tidbits about shells or what have you. It depends on the shell collector I'm thinking of specifically and stuff. So having that opportunity can kind of go in interesting ways as well if you do want to pursue multiple concentrations or kind of dabble in it a little bit. But if you're set on fiction, especially one of the four that Paul offers in the online MFA, it's an excellent opportunity to get that novel almost to the finish line, like Paul said, and then, you know, getting it over that threshold and getting it ready to send out and stuff. Let's see. I think. What would we expect? Paul, do you want to talk about the word count and page count for the novel project?
Yeah, let me segue into that.
Sure.
This is Isabella's question. What would the expected word count, page count for the novel project be? And Jacob, I think you can answer for the MA here too, because they're both have writing projects as a thesis, or at least as part of the thesis, but the expectations are different. So in the MFA, we're looking for a completed novel, and that means at least 50,000 words. What about the maximum? There is no maximum. You know, if you're writing an epic fantasy novel, if you're the next Robert Jordan or Sarah J. Maas, then, you know, you got to turn in that 500 page novel. There are some stipulations as to how much of that your instructor is required to read and comment on directly in their final in your final course in the program. That's up to 80,000 words that you get to choose yourself. Most novels in our program do not go over 80,000 words. Some do. But the main thing is that you're going to complete a novel. You're going to have a kind of a bank of feedback from workshops with peers and also with instructors. At the end of the final thesis course, the thesis in the MFA unrolls over three courses that you take consecutively with the same instructor and the same group of peers. At the end of that, of the third class in that sequence, when you turn in your thesis, there's a post-term period of 5 weeks in which the instructor reads all the novels that have been turned in for the MFA and then writes you kind of a final editorial letter. And this is basically a letter that says, okay, congratulations, your work's not done. Here's what you still need to do in order to make this ready to query to agents or to self-publish. But When you get to the end of the MFA, in addition to your novel, you'll have a collection of artifacts that you can use in the next step of your career, whether that's self-publishing, or querying agents. And in fact, at the end of the process, both in the MA and the MFA, we give our graduates the opportunity to pitch their novels to professional literary agents. So twice a year, we bring in a group of professional agents who sit in a room very much like this one, a virtual environment, and they listen to a 5-minute pitch from all of our graduates who choose to participate. And a number of students have gotten agents that way. A number of students have received requests for full manuscripts or a partial manuscript. The purpose of this is not just to give you a kind of a head start in your subsequent career post-graduation, but to familiarize you with the process of pitching, which is a very important thing for writers. Even if you're determined to go the self-publishing route, if you're successful as a self-publisher, agents are going to come knocking at your door. And the doors of traditional publishing will miraculously swing wide. And so you have to be prepared to handle that. And I think the MFA does its best to give its students the knowledge and experience to handle those opportunities when they come along. It's just one way of doing that. So, Jacob, I'll let you speak to the MA.
Sure. Yeah. And so, like Paul said, less writing intensive MA program. So that is another opportunity for those who might not have the time right now to pursue, you know, that full length manuscript and but they'd still like to practice the habit of writing. You know, I think both programs really push that idea of like getting into the habit of writing, making goals, setting those goals and meeting those goals page count wise is important. For the fiction and nonfiction concentrations in the MA, it's a 30 to 35,000 word novel or short story collection or memoir, so 120 pages. So on the lower end of a almost novella like, but a little bit lower end than the online MFA. The screenplay concentration is a full length. Feature-length screenplay, so it's 90 to 110 pages. And for the poetry, it is 20 poems, and that, you know, or 20 pages of very long poems. And so it varies depending on the concentration that you are pursuing, how much you would be writing in any of those four. That's not to say that poets are writing a lot less. It's just that poetry... You need to be very careful with what words you're putting together in poetry to convey the meaning that you're trying to convey. And it takes a lot more effort in some ways to get 20 polished poems where, you know, a script, 90 to 110 pages, there might be a few lines in there where the characters are saying, yeah, uh-huh, yep, stuff like that. So it's comparably, you know, it does seem like there's a vast difference between the concentrations, but there really isn't, because the main goal of the program is, again, to kind of get you in the habit of writing and getting you to a point where you have something that is long enough to continue to pursue and build off of and grow even more than 120 pages or what have you. Or for the case for fiction, the fiction workshop especially, you know, I push often students to write short stories if they're not really set on writing a novel, because short stories they're very difficult to get published, just like everything, but they are much easier to get published than, you know, a 40 page short story. You know, getting multiple 8 to 12 to 15 page short stories can be a little bit simpler to get published in that way and stuff than a full-length novel, or 120-page novel, because that's one of those things where it's like would have to be a piece of writing that is really exceptionally written, really well contained, and the publisher is going to be able to say we can sell this despite its length, because a lot of people like, you know, at least 150, 200, 250 pages for a novel to get their money's worth, if you will. So yeah, those are the differences in the word counts in my program. I did want to jump back up because I saw that someone had asked about the TA ship. We do offer TA ship here. If you are nearing the end of your MA, or if you do near the end of your MA, you usually will talk to your advisor, and the advisor will let you know when the next run of English 675 runs. That is our TA ship course. What that involves is basically MA and MFA students are qualified, but they have to submit an application for it. The application basically asks you why you're interested in TAing for an English 190 course, which used to be, depending on how long you've been here and stuff, English 123, the English Composition 2 course, persuasive writing, if you will. It focuses on that. So the application centers on like, why are you interested in supporting first year writers? Can you send us a letter of recommendation from someone? Can you also send us your CV and just an acknowledgement that what you would be doing as a TA in the SNU courses is slightly different than what you would be doing as a TA in other universities where, you know, you think of the movies and stuff where the TA just gets the thousands of pages of papers to read and stuff and the professor doesn't do anything. That doesn't happen here. TAs don't grade the work in the classroom. Instead, they're there to support first year writers. So you kind of learn the ins and outs of online teaching, like how to post announcements, how to facilitate discussion boards, how to help students locate resources in the Shapiro Library databases, things that ultimately are important, especially if you're interested in adjuncting your teaching online for composition purposes and stuff, things that you would want to have some experiment or some background in before you start applying to those positions. But yes, we do offer that. It usually runs once a year, sometimes twice. So that's why you would want to make sure that you're always just articulating to your advisor that is something that you'd like to pursue, that so that they can keep you up to date on when that next one runs. A lot of great questions, and
yeah, there are. I'll
try to get to all of them. Paul, I see a few MFA ones if you want to.
Yeah, I'm going to jump into this question from Jacqueline that also has a place for you to answer as well. What tips would you give to students regarding their success in the MA MFA programs? Jacqueline, I'm very pleased to see you ask this question. Jacqueline is in my MFA 505 class this term. So my suggestion is, first of all, time management is important in an MFA program and an MA program. I know everybody here has, another wider life. You have jobs, you've got family obligations, right? There's a lot going on. And the MFA and the MA, these are not easy endeavors. You know, it's a challenge. You've set yourself a challenge. To prepare to meet that challenge successfully, part of that's time management. And you have to think about, like, when things are due, how much time you can give to to the various deliverables that are expected of you each week and when you can do it. You know that, for example, in discussion boards, you have your initial post is due every Thursday. So instead of thinking like, well, Thursday, I'm going to post my initial post, which, you know, that's fine. But maybe you can say like, well, I'm going to budget myself some time, you know, to post my initial post on Tuesday. Then it's out of the way and you can concentrate on other things for the remainder of the week. I think one of the difficulties in a writing program like ours is like one of the things we're trying to teach you how to do is to budget your time for writing, for like your own creative writing. And that looks different for almost every writer. You know, some writers get up at the crack of dawn and work for 2 hours. Some writers, you know, write during their commute. Some writers, you know, burn the midnight oil. Doesn't matter. Whatever works for you is fine. But in addition to like trying to carve out time for your own writing in these programs, you're also carving out time to do everything else that's expected of you in the program, like write a cover letter, write a query letter, you know, workshopping other students' stories. So this can be a burden in terms of time. And you know, the main thing to keep in mind, I think, when you're in the MFA is like, you know, this too shall pass. This is a period of time where you're invested in your MFA, right? And that should be, you know, if you're thinking like, I'm not writing enough. I should be working on my own novel a little bit more than I am right now. Well, you know, look at your budget and see if you can, in fact, budget more time for it. But if you can't, just remind yourself, well, I'm in an MFA program. I've got a ton of other stuff that's required of me. Don't be so hard on yourself. Cut yourself some slack and realize that once you're out of the program, you'll have a lot of time back and you can put that time to use productively. And then the other suggestion I have for both the MFA and MA is take advantage of things like this that we offer. I mean, the MFA, we have the Wireside Chats that take place on the second Monday of every week. We, in conjunction with Jacob, we do the Word for Word, which takes place on a less regular schedule, but still fairly often. I have my Tea with the Dean every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, 3 to 3:30, where we look at a short story and analyze it from a craft perspective. That my door is always open to anyone for that. And the information is posted every week in the writers community. Join the writers community. That's a space in SNHU Connect that's devoted to the MFA. MFA instructors are there. MFA students are there. It's kind of a lounge where we can all hang out and talk about writing and share things that we've learned, share places to submit. Basically, you know, try to take advantage of the writing community that's around you. You're a part of it now. As students at SNHU, you're welcome in this community. We value you here, and we want you to participate as widely as you feel comfortable doing. So I'll turn it over to you, Jacob.
Yeah. So I mean, everything that Paul said, I would say, is insane. With the MA, time management is the top priority. I think that's something that I often stress with any creative writing program, is that like, just taking the program itself does not mean that you are the next great American novelist, or that you're going to have a tenured position at Harvard for the rest of your life and stuff. Those aren't guarantees, not in any degree for that matter. But for creative writing especially, the journey is the important part of the degree itself. It's learning and creating habit to write, to practice the craft of writing, to find the time to write. There's an excellent, if you ever come across it, Richard Bosch wrote an essay once on like some tips on how to, he's a prolific short story writer, and it was like how to effectively write, you know, short stories successfully and stuff. And one of his pointers was like, write when the TV's on, write when your kids are yelling in the background, write, like try you forming those habits to be able to find time to write and find that opportunity for you is important. And I think both programs can help with that, especially since we give those deadlines that need to be followed as well, because following those deadlines is what kind of helps create the habit, right? Rather than just saying, all right, go write that novel, no TBD on when it's needs to be finished or anything like that. So that's really important. The other thing that I would say, besides, you know, taking up events like this and joining the Creative Writing Club at SNHU and SNHU Connect and everything, is reading and writing broadly is very important as well. We really support, you know, diverse and inclusive voices and writers in both programs, and we encourage folks to read outside of the genres and interests that they are coming into the program with. Find other avenues as well. Use opportunities to look at the reading lists that may be offered in different programs or in different courses, and say, you know, I'm into horror films or whatever, so I'm going to definitely look at Wes Craven's stuff and everything. But maybe I'll also look at this romantic comedy as well, to see, well, how does the romantic comedy compare to the horror film and pacing and everything like that? Because reading broadly and writing broadly not only gives you new perspectives of different people and experiences and everything, which is really important, but it also can help you kind of you know, cross-pollinate, if you will, different processes and stuff, and come up with new, unique, creative outputs and stuff that actually makes your writing stand out amongst all the other writing out there. I mean, how often can you read the same exact, you know, horror story over and over and over again versus like the horror story that throws in references to, again, romantic comedy, or that there's a little bit of drama involved with it as well. There's some, you have meaning behind the character's flaws or the villain's flaws and everything like that. So reading and writing broadly is very important. And the final thing I would say, and this is often overlooked, I think, because a lot of people think the workshop is an opportunity for me to get feedback on my writing. It's also an opportunity for you to give feedback on other people's writing and stuff as well. And that doing that practice helps your peers, of course, but it is also one of those practices that as you help your peers, you become better at self-critiquing and self-writing yourself and looking at your piece and saying, you know what, maybe I can cut this paragraph out, or maybe I should adjust this language a little bit to make it shine a little more. Really being earnest in offering good quality feedback to your peers is actually going to only benefit you as well. It's not something that should be rushed. And I think Paul kind of alluded to that, right? Don't wait until Thursday to submit the discussion board post. Spend some time on it, because doing that can really help you not only within the program, but after you leave the program as well, forming those habits of self-critique. And in fact, if you ever come across another group, a writing group outside of SNU or something like that, once you graduate, you want a workshop, you'll have that toolkit as well handy, so that you can continue to help and support your fellow peers as well with their writing.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump on and agree with what Jacob just said there. You know, I feel as though workshopping is probably the single most important aspect of our program, for just that the reason Jacob mentioned, which is that by giving honest, positive feedback to others, earnestly seeking to help them improve as writers and improve their work to be what, you know, the best it can be, that has a rebound effect on you, and your own writing will improve. It's inevitable, and maybe even surprising when it happens, and you start to realize, oh, I'm getting more from what I'm saying to others than from what others are saying to me. And that's, you know, I don't want to say that's 100% true, but in a way it is true, because it's something that when people in a workshop give you information that's useful to you as a writer, it's kind of like a light bulb goes off, right? Or lightning strikes. And you're like, oh my God, of course, why didn't I see that? That's obviously super useful to get information like that. But with the rebound effect that I'm talking about and giving feedback to others, that's more like water wearing away at stone. And then suddenly you realize, oh my gosh, I'm 2 years into this program. I have become a much better writer. And this is why. So I think that's often overlooked, but extremely important to recognize. Derek, I'm going to throw one your way. Here's a question that says, asks about the pros and cons of doing a dual degree, MA, MFA.
So when it comes to the pros, I would say you would receive them, especially if you go, if you did MA in fiction and then went on to the MFA, you would have a very extensive education around fiction writing. But it could be an opportunity to pair one style, going back to Jacob's example earlier, maybe study nonfiction in the MA, and then go into the MFA for fiction. And you have both areas where you've had a fair amount of exposure and practice. I can say I teach 505 as well. Excuse me. And it's not uncommon to see students coming into that after having completed the MA. And I'll say, generally speaking, those students, I can tell right off the bat, there's a difference in their writing. They come in very strong to the program. So I think they're set up fairly well for success and to manage the workload. I don't say easily, but more successfully than someone who perhaps hasn't. Is it a requirement? Do you really need to have both an MA and MFA on your resume if you want to get into university teaching? I don't think so. So it really comes down to your personal goals, how much writing education you want to receive. But if you had both an MA and an MFA, I don't think it would be a mark against you either. And Jacob Paul, feel free to chime in or disagree with me.
So taking the dual degrees, I wouldn't say they're necessarily bad. Like traditionally, you would go from either the BA to an MA to a PhD or the BA to an MFA. But, you know, it college has changed significantly over the years and stuff. And I think one of the things that I see benefit to with taking like a BA and then an MA and then MFA is, for one, you might not get into the MFA right away. You might need to work on your writing a little bit more and stuff. And this is an opportunity to not to say you can still pursue your writing goals and stuff in the MA while you fine tune it, tailor it, and then reapply to the MFA at a later time. So that is one option. And that's something that I think some students do here and to good success as well. The MA and MFA can also be, to Derek's point, be really beneficial when you want to do two different things. If you want to focus on screenwriting for the MA and then finish that novel in the MFA, that's also great because that's just one extra thing to add to your CV. Like, hey, I've taken these two different concentrations and focused on them in different ways. If you're pursuing an MA in fiction and then an MFA in fiction, that can also be a thing. And that's something that, you know, you just really have to ask yourself, like, is this right now in my life with my time commitments that I have, would I be able to write that longer MFA novel requirement? Or is it better for me right now to pursue the MA and just try to get that 120 pages down first? And if I do get the 120 pages down after the MA is complete, would it be beneficial for me now to take what I have there and move on to the MFA and apply to the MFA to see if I can, you know, add another 100 pages to it, make it a little bit longer or go in that route? That is something that you can do if you want to. I don't think it's going to necessarily, and I think this was alluded to, like when it's on your CV and stuff, I don't think people are going to say, oh, wow, they have like 5 degrees and that makes it them qualified to teach here. They're still going to ultimately look at what your experiences are with TA-ship and publications. Those are the two things that they look at most to see, are you qualified to teach at the college level? So no matter, and that's basically any, that's not exclusive to creative writing. Any degree is like that. You can have any degree in the world. You have 5 of them, but if you have no teaching experience, it's going to be much more difficult or challenging to pursue a teaching experience. That said, I do also want to point out, there are different avenues to teaching and supporting people nowadays too, rather than just saying like you know, it used to be you would get your TA ship in your MA or MFA. You would support first year writers for the couple of years that you're in your MA or MFA. Then you would probably move on to an adjunct position while you worked on publications and stuff, and then hopefully leverage that into a longer and full-time position somewhere. Nowadays, there are other opportunities where, again, if you do exceptional work with workshopping and it shows that you are there to support your peers and to help other writers, you can apply for positions like at Smart Thinking or tutoring services or local tutoring services, working with other groups outside of the university and stuff. All of those lines can work to your benefit on your CV to then leverage into teaching online or teaching at a community college as well. There are many different avenues to supporting and teaching rather than that traditional strict, this must happen, then this must, it's just kind of just like publishing itself, right? Used to be like you had to find your agent, then you had to find your editor, then you had to find the publisher, blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, there are many different avenues that you can pursue for publication. I think that kind of rings true too for, you know, learning the craft and pursuing the degrees that you want to pursue, but then also, you know, looking at other ways to support writers and stuff to kind of then leverage into a teaching position at a university. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to just jump back in to clarify. This is something that I should have mentioned up front. it's been implicit in a lot of what Jacob's been talking about and what Derek has been talking about. But the MFA is, it requires you to apply. Whereas many programs at SNHU are open enrollment, which means there is no there's no bar to admission, other than, you know, you have to have maintained a certain grade point average in your undergraduate. But for the MFA, that's not the case. You actually have to submit a writing sample, and that writing sample is looked at by trained MFA evaluators who are on adjuncts, instructors, published writers in our community. And they've been trained on how to evaluate submissions. And, you know, a lot of times students will be judged like, you know, this is a good idea. These elements of it were well executed. These elements, not so much. If we let you into the MFA program now, you would not do well. You would not succeed because you're not yet writing at the level that you need to be writing at in order to succeed in MFA. Now, it's no knock against you. It's just, you know, it's just the reality. So in order to get your skills up to speed, maybe you want to take the MA. And that, again, this is no knock against the MA. The MA is open enrollment. The MFA is not. So in the MA, you can go in and work on those specific areas in a couple of courses, for example. And you might decide, like, you know, let's say you take two or three courses in the MA and you're like, well, you know what? I've worked on those areas that were pointed out to me when my application to the MFA was denied. I've talked with my instructors about it. They know what I'm working on. I'm working on, like, let's say, you know, better integrating my characters into their setting. Let's just pulling an example out of thin air. I feel like I'm much better at that now. So I'm going to reapply to the MFA. And when you do that, your application is automatically fast tracked. It comes directly to me. And then I evaluate it based on what I'm seeing and what your previous application looked like. And if I see improvement there, then I can say, well, here's somebody who's really dedicated. Here's somebody who's practiced their craft. They've improved. I'm now convinced that they have what it takes to succeed in the MFA. So I'm going to admit you to the MFA program. And then there's something worked out on the advising side and admission side. But some of the courses that you took in the MA are then credited to you in the MFA, and you become exempted from certain courses like MFA 505, for example, which is the introductory MFA course. You don't have to take that because you've taken its equivalent in the MA. So a number of students do that every year. They do what we call crosswalking from the MA into the MFA. Some students go in the opposite direction. You know, they start the MFA and they're like, you know what, this isn't quite for me. I'm not ready to write a full novel yet. I don't have the time, but I still want to work on my writing. So those students can move into the MA. So there can be a back and forth. All right, let me continue. Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a couple. No, I was just going to conflate a few of the questions together for you, Paul.
Okay.
They're curious, like, how far out do you apply for the MFA as well and stuff? And is that something that they would want to communicate with their advisor, or is there a specific?
Yeah, I think you should communicate your desire to come to apply for the MFA as early as you possibly can. That said, we accept applications for the new term, like up to the weekend before the term starts. We've even admitted some people over that weekend. So it can be a very last minute type of thing, but it's always better, I think, to plan things in advance and try to, you know, make sure that you're submitting your best work. For the MFA, you have to apply with a personal statement that talks about, like, why do I want to be in this program? Why do I want to be a writer? What writers were meaningful to me? What writers have influenced me? And then you submit a short story. And I'm glad this has come up, because recently I've seen a number of applications to the MFA where people are trying something like experimental or weird. You know, they're like, I'm really pushing myself on this, and I'm going to write something in, like, you know, second person omniscient, right? And I just pulled that out because it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as second person omniscient. But let's just say, hey, I'm going to invent it. Don't do that for your application to the MFA, right? Be boring. You know, just stick with something that's going to demonstrate your ability to be in control of the craft elements that you're using, right? Don't submit a screenplay. I've had a few of those. Don't submit poems, right? We're a fiction program. We want you to submit a work of fiction in one of the genres that we cover: speculative fiction, romance, YA, and contemporary. Now, these are large categories, right? They contain multitudes. Speculative fiction, that could be a fantasy. It could be a horror novel with a supernatural element. It could be science fiction. It could be a dystopia. Same with YA, right? We all know that there's a huge variety of YA. There could be like a YA speculative, YA romance, but they all share certain characteristics because they're YA. And the same with the other genres. So that's my advice in terms of like applying for the MFA.
And going back to, again, so the MA is open enrollment, so you don't need to apply for it. You can simply say, I'd like to go into the MA after pursuing a BA here and stuff. But there are a couple of questions about how much writing should I have done before I join these programs and stuff. You will probably have some writing already done, right, by going into the MA with your BA. And there are times where our students who have received a BA here, then go into an MA here, want to continue to work on the writing that they have been working on. And that can be fine, but it's something that we always stress that they need to articulate to their instructor that they're working with, because they don't, you are all familiar with the plagiarism detector software and all that kind of stuff. And if it pops up that, hey, there's a 90% match that this was already submitted to SNU, it's one of those things that can be problematic, because it's what ends up happening is that resubmitting the same writing is not pursuing writing further, right? So like, you can continue to work on what you were writing in the BA, but there should be significant revision and significant updates and upgrades and more new, brand new pages as well when you are pursuing an MA compared to a BA. So it's okay to take those ideas that you were experimenting with in the BA and applying them to longer works in the MA, but you just want to make sure that you're not just recycling the same materials over and over again. It is, again, going back to what I've been saying from the beginning, a process of a habit. Like, that's what you need to do. You're trying to establish with both degrees is creating a habit, meeting those deadlines, and expanding on your writing and craft as you pursue it. That said, too, if you want to come into the MA and you are coming in with a concentration that you did not pursue as a BA, like, hey, I want to learn poetry in the MA, I didn't take poetry in the BA, you can come in with nothing at all. It's just meeting those requirements at the end of the term that you'll want to keep in mind and stuff. It might mean a little bit more work on your end and everything. And that's, again, a case-by-case scenario where you'll want to ask yourself, do I have time to write 20 brand new poems from scratch, not ever pursuing poetry before in my life? For some people, absolutely. I have that time, I'm going to do it. If you don't have that time, that's something where it's like, okay, maybe I should think about how much writing should I have before I come into this, just to make sure that I'm kind of, in that comfortable space and everything. I think, do we need to state which genre we are writing in? I'm assuming that's probably for the MFA. Is that something that you have to, when you're writing in your personal statement, Paul, do you say I'm interested in pursuing speculative fiction, or can you just choose that after you come in?
Well, when you come into the MFA, the admissions advisor is going to help you to choose I wouldn't call it a concentration exactly, but to choose a focus of your genre, because we don't really have a concentration per se in the MFA, but you do have to choose a genre or combination of genres that you're going to focus on. We give our students a background in all of the genres that we cover, but there are genre specific courses. So, for example, if you know that you're going to be writing a science fiction novel for your thesis novel, then you're going to want to take the genre one and genre two courses that are focused on speculative fiction. If you're going to be writing a YA dystopian novel, well, then you might want to take one of the genre courses as a YA course and one of the genre courses as a speculative course to cover all your bases. completely up to you. You can change your focus, your genre focus at any time in the program. You know, many times, well, I wouldn't say many times, but it's happened more than once that a student will get into the thesis courses. MFA 700 is the first of the thesis courses. They'll get into MFA 700 and they'll be like, you know what? That speculative novel that I've been working on for the past year and a half, it's not grabbing me anymore. I lost track of it somewhere. And what is grabbing me, however, is this new idea. Can I work on that? And the answer is absolutely yes. That's now your thesis novel. So there is no concentration per se, and we're, it's just very much up to the student to determine what genre or genres they want to focus on through the program.
And I think we covered all the questions. I just want to make sure that we weren't missing any. If we missed any, and you had a question that we didn't address, go ahead and pop it in again real quick here, if you'd like. But
I do see a note from Tamara says, follow up, I'm wrapping up MA, graduating in April, and I'm interested in our MFA. And Tamara, I hope you will consider applying. I'm going to put my email into the chat down here. Anybody that's interested in learning more about the MFA, has more questions, please feel free to contact me. How long does the MFA run from enrollment to graduation? That depends on how many courses you want to take per term. Some students take two courses per term. Some students take one. Some students take a term or two off. Writing, let's say, an 80,000 word novel in three terms, that's not easy. Even a professional writer, that's 30 weeks. Even a professional writer would, possibly have difficulty. The fastest I've ever written a novel is 3 months. I feel like I would have difficulty writing a novel in three terms. So it's not uncommon for a student to say, like, you know what, I need some more time to work on my novel before I put, before I enter the thesis track. I'm going to take a term off. Or I'm going to take, an elective before I get into that final term. Anyway, it really depends on how what you and your advisor determine is best for you. I think you can probably finish, Derek, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you can finish in like 2 years if you're taking two courses per term.
It's roughly that. I think it was designed similarly because the low-res MFA is 2 years, assuming that you don't take any terms off. From start to finish. So this is a similar length if you go full time, which is two courses all the way through.
And the MA is similar in scope where you like we have two different pathways that we often share with advisors where taking more than two courses a term is not suggested, like because it's too much in that 10-week bandwidth. But some students like to do two courses per term, and they're able to finish in half the amount of time as one course per term. But it again depends on where you are. I don't know how you said it earlier, Paul, but I liked it, like the life beyond the life beyond this, right? That you all have and stuff. Those are the questions that you'll have to answer yourselves as to whether or not like what would make the most sense for to you and everything. So. But yeah, all both terms are 10 weeks as well for the MA and MFA. So two extra weeks compared to the BA.
And that brings us to 9 o'clock and the end of our chat. This has been a wonderful chat. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I want to thank Jacob for joining me and Derek for joining us as well. You can reach out to me at the email address I posted anytime you like for more questions. Always happy to chime in. I wish everyone all the best. And these Wireside Chats are open to everybody. They happen on the second Monday of every month. Next month, we have instructor Heather Heppler, who's YA and middle grade author who teaches at the online MFA, and we're going to talk a little bit about the differences between middle grade fiction and YA fiction, which is a stumbling block a lot of writers in our program come across. They think they're writing a YA, but they're really writing a middle grade, or they think they're writing middle grade, but they're really writing a YA. And of course, middle grade is not one of the genres that we cover in our program. So it's important to have that distinction clear in mind before you set out to write your novel. All right, that's it for me. I'm going to wish everyone a good night.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming. Take care.
Take care, everyone.